Did you know that? The culture there is, the ethics behind that are, sit back and be thoughtful with some of our highlighted interviews on Moncrief.
Zoltan Istvan is currently running for governor of California for the Libertarian Party, but he's not your ordinary libertarian, if there is such a thing. Zoltan wants death to be treated ultimately as a disease, which will eventually be done away with. Afternoon, Zoltan.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Now, you did previously run in the presidential election in the US last year, and now you're running for governor of California. Now, even though it's for the Libertarian Party, you are, I suppose, primarily a transhumanist. Can you explain to us what a transhumanist is?
Absolutely. A transhumanist is somebody who wants to use science and technology to radically modify the human being and also to modify the human experience. It can be anything from exoskeleton suits to get people out of wheelchairs, telepathy through brain implants, and also even just things like driverless cars.
Right. Okay. Now, driverless cars, we know that they're testing them, and so they will become a reality in the not too distant future. Those other kinds of things you mentioned, how possible are they in the immediate future?
Well, you know, they're also being tested. The idea of like being born blind or being born deaf, you know, deafness doesn't really exist anymore on planet Earth if you have access to the technology, because we have cochlear implants. And right now around the world, a number of universities are testing out robotic eyes for people that have been born completely blind. So blindness is being eradicated through transhumanist technology. Many of the things that you hear or have heard in science fiction are now becoming a reality. I would anticipate in the next 5 to 10 years, many, many disabilities of anyone would be able to be, modified through radical technologies that make people able human beings.
Well, that's all great. Why does it need to be brought into the political sphere if all this is happening anyway?
Well, to be honest with you, in America, we spend a huge amount of our GDP, of our economic creation on the military, on far-off wars, on bombing. I want to spend a huge amount of that money on science, on health, on medicine. I want to make it so that the loved ones you have can live twice as long as they normally would live, so we don't have to lose them. And that's really where transhumanism needs to be in the political realm. We need somebody in office who's going to direct that money not into bombs and into bullets, but into healthcare, into medicine, into the kind of innovation that can really change the world.
Now, explain to us what is genetic editing and why some people might be opposed to it.
Well, sure. Genetic editing is perhaps the most promising science of the 21st century. Essentially, it allows you to go into your genes and modify them so that you can create anything. Now, the reason people have problems with it is because you can literally recreate the human being. And it doesn't have to look like a human being. It can look like the bar in Star Wars on Tatooine. You can go in with genetic editing and actually give somebody a third arm or give somebody an eye on the back of their head. So that's very controversial for people who think that the human body is sacred. But the same thing that genetic editing can do is it can eliminate cancer in the body. It can potentially augment your intelligence. So we could all have the capabilities that Einstein had in physics. It can do things like for someone who was born without a limb to add a limb to that person. So genetic editing is really perhaps the most controversial science of the 21st century and certainly the most promising. But the radical effects of what you can do with it make it very challenging from a political point of view, and also just challenging to the everyday person.
I suppose it could also be controversial from the point of view of when or if it becomes a reality, it could be something that you can have if you can afford it. Your kids won't have cancer, will have blue eyes and be perfect in health. But if you can't afford it, your kids will be like everyone else. And so there's a danger there of having a sort of a super race of humans and then a substandard race of humans.
And I fully agree with you. You know, and I tend to run on at least a sort of left-leaning principle, where one of the main goals of my politics is to try to make equality, something that actually thrives around the world, not this growing inequality. And we can all be honest, inequality is growing around the world, primarily due to some people becoming super rich and others becoming more poor. And those certainly that don't have resources will probably not have immediate access to much of this radical transhumanist technology. And again, this brings up why I think transhumanism needs to be involved in politics, why you need a science candidate like myself to make sure that the government says, hey, this radical technology is so incredible, but we must make mandates that give it to everybody. Because the last thing we want to do, last thing transhumanists want to do, is create a super race and a substandard race.
Now, interestingly enough, and I honestly don't know if this is a libertarian policy or not, but you do support the idea of a state-funded universal basic income, I assume because you're thinking about the future when, you know, full employment won't be possible because there'll be so many robots, etc., doing things that humans used to do. Is that a libertarian-supported idea?
No. It's a controversial libertarian idea, and broadly saying, it is not supported right now by the libertarians. That said, there are some left-leaning libertarians like myself who are more open to it. One of the things that a universal base income does is it swallows a bunch of the other welfare programs out there, including welfare, including kind of some universal medical payouts, including also Social Security for Americans. So you could streamline the government, and that's one of the main attracting factors of a basic income to libertarians. But I'll be honest with you, some of the Libertarian Party people spoke to me last week and saying, you know, be cautious with this, Zoltan. This is pretty far out there for libertarians. That said, everybody really must understand, you know, no matter what political side you're on, that machines are coming to take jobs. Millions of driver jobs will probably be replaced within the next 4 years by automated cars.
Yeah.
So we have a serious problem on our hands. The world does.
Yeah, once self-driving cars come in, no more taxi drivers, no more bus drivers, no more truck drivers, no more train drivers. That's going to have a huge effect on economies all over the place.
Of course, and there's 4 million drivers in America, and this is almost the amount of jobs that could be lost as the Great Recession 10 years ago. So we're going to have a very challenging time ahead of us to deal with automation and robots.
So, Zoltan, in terms of transhumanism, though, how far do you see it going? Will we get to a point where we won't look like ourselves anymore?
I think that's going to be a choice that people have to make, and I would always like to leave that choice up to everybody. But people like myself are aiming to merge with machines. We see the body as frail, as imperfect. You know, if I had all the powers in the world to recreate a perfect entity, I would not create it with blood, something that needs to breathe air, something that has organs that age. You know, we would create it in much more of a machine format that can live thousands and thousands of years. And the things that it loves, it doesn't have to give up. You know, I have 2 kids, and the last thing I'd ever want to see is something ever happen to my kids. But, you know, they are walking time bombs right now. They have a limited lifespan because of their biology. So many transhumanists like myself are trying to transcend our biology so that we can continue on indefinitely, and our family and loved ones can as well.
Though we wouldn't be the same as what we are now, how does that square up? You know, the kind of, I suppose, the physical sensations that we experience every day are part of what makes us who we are. We wouldn't be that person if we kind of transfer that consciousness into a machine somehow.
Yes, you know, we probably wouldn't be similar, but we probably retain the very best aspects of humanity. I kind of see love continuing onward, no matter how machine-like we get. But I think one of the things people have to understand is that the brain is just 3 pounds of meat. When you fill the Empire State Building full of servers and you give it software to run in artificial intelligence, that type of entity might have the computational power that's a billion times that of a human being. So it might have a billion times more ability to have senses, to have ideas. I mean, we're talking about probably within 10 to 15 years creating an intelligence that's going to be far superior to the human brain. Mm. And once that happens, we're going to discover new versions of ourselves. I keep telling people, you know, don't look at it as us losing our humanity. We're going to take our humanity with us, but there's humanity and other things to discover too. And that's really the greatest thing about it. The human being is just a baby. It's just beginning its journey of what it can become.
Do you have any concerns about artificial intelligence? Of course, lots of people do, that, you know, once it, you know, it becomes intelligent enough, it'll view us as being bugs, basically.
Well, you know, I side with a ton of the other experts on this. I do not advocate for creating an artificial intelligence that is smarter than us. What I advocate for the exact, you know, scenario that everybody knows in Terminator. I don't see the reason we should on planet Earth have a being that is smarter than us. What I do advocate for is this idea of neural prosthetics. There's a number of startup companies now in Silicon Valley that are working on this idea that chips will embed with your biological brain, and we already have some of them out there. About 500,000 people have implants of some sort in their head to help their health. Once we can connect directly through machines with our thinking capabilities, we're sort of into the matrix, then we can have an AI because we will be an intrinsic part of that AI. And that's sort of how I see the future of humanity moving forward. It's not necessarily that we're going to be transferred to machines. It's we're going to become sort of much more merged with machines. And then I'm all about having an artificial intelligence because we will be one with that AI, at least in thinking terms.
You're an example of that in the sense, as I understand it, you don't have a front door key. You just have an implant in your hand.
You know, I have one of the most basic biohacking, little gadgets out there. I have a chip about the size of a grain of rice in my hand. It can do things like open my front door or start a car. It sends out a text message if you get very close to me. You know, we have all sorts of technology that biohackers and transhumanists are starting to put into their bodies. You know, they're very small and you really don't notice them, but they allow you to do lots of things. You know, I'm a surfer, so when I go surfing, I don't have to take my keys with me into the water. And very soon your credit card and everything else will be built into that little chip.
That's very handy. Zoltan, thanks very much for talking to us today. That's Zoltan Istvan there running for governor of California. We're going to take a break after that, so you think you're an adult. More interviews that make you go, on Moncrief, weekdays from 1:30.
Two.